You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
What if one of the reasons you're not rich, not fulfilled, not at peace, isn't because you're lazy, isn't because you're not talented, it's because you've been spending the wrong currency? Yeah, that's right. You see, everyone's chasing money. The grinders, the hustlers, they tell you time is your most valuable asset. But the wealthy, the truly wise, we know something deeper. I don't just talk about this stuff, I live it. I've built a portfolio of over 400 million in assets, not by chasing shiny objects, but by mastering one thing most people overlook.
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together, we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Listen, I've bought a lot of stuff in my life. I bought the cars, I bought the vacations, I bought the gadgets, the gears, the image, but none of it moved the needle on my wealth the way this one investment did. If you want to be a millionaire, nah, check that. If you want to be a multimillionaire, you've got to buy this. If you want to break the generational curses and build generational wealth, you've got to buy this. Above all else, this is the currency that multiplies everything it touches. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not even talking about time. The most valuable currency you'll ever spend. What do I mean by this? Money, we're told, is the great enabler, a store of value, a tool for freedom, a means of keeping score. And yes, it can buy you fancy dinner, designer sofas, and a dubious overpriced Himalayan salt. But money, for all its prestige, is embarrassingly passive. You can earn it, hoard it, squander it, or shove it into an index fund and hope it sits there, blinking, waiting for order. Once you've got it, you're still left with the question, now what?
One of history's finest display of poetic injustice comes to us courtesy of King Louis XIV, a man who, by all accounts, had more money than most small countries and yet couldn't buy the one thing he needed most, a quiet exit. In June of 1791, Louis and his family attempted the royal equivalent of the Irish goodbye, slipping out of the revolutionary Paris in disguise under false names aboard a heavily padded, tailor-made carriage. They weren't short on resources. They had gold, guards, maps, aliases, everything money could procure, and yet, it was money, quite literally, that betrayed him. Not a spy, not a defector, no dramatic sword fight at the border. Just a civil servant in the town of Saint-Monnehud who looked at the weary man in the carriage, then looked at the banknote, and the penny dropped. Yes, the king's face, proudly emblazed on the nation's paper currency, outed him. Money, which was meant to project power and legitimacy, had made him recognizable in a way his crown no longer could. He was arrested and marched back to Paris like a disgraced rock star at the wrong venue. If money were freedom, then the king of France would have been halfway Austria with a bottle of Burgundy by sunset. But in the end, money didn't liberate him. It identified him. So if money isn't the ultimate goal, then what is? The next answer we're sold is just as shiny, maybe even more convincing. I bought into it too, until I realized it wasn't quite what it seemed. And we're talking here about time. Time, meanwhile, is the stiffly polite guest at the party, always slipping out early, never available for a second round. You get 24 hours a day, just like Beyonce, and then it's gone. No refund. Time is non-negotiable. It's a hard limit. It's a tree on which your entire life is served on, a precious container, but crucially still just a container. I came across this concept recently that really deepened something I've always intuitively felt. For a long time, I believed that money was just a store of value. It wasn't the value. It wasn't the ultimate goal. Then I upgraded the belief, thinking, well, time must be the most valuable currency, until I heard what Neville Ramekin said. And suddenly everything clicked. Neville shared that it's not time that's your most precious currency. It's actually attention. Where you place your attention determines the quality of time and
and what your money ultimately does. And when I thought about it, it made perfect sense. Time isn't fixed the way that we think it is. It's actually relative. When you're doing something you enjoy, time flies. And when you're doing something you dread, it drags on like molasses. Every time I take my dogs for a walk, 30, 40, even an hour will pass, and it feels like seconds. I'm present, I'm connected, I'm having fun. And because my attention is fully immersed in the joy of the moment, time seems to compress. And then let's talk about exercise. I just started exercising again this week, and I kid you not, one exercise was just literally 45 seconds of jumping jacks. And about 15 seconds in, I'm like already looking at the clock and thinking, wait a minute, why does this feel like eternity? I kept checking the timer. Seconds would go by so slowly. How is it still standing still? How is it that we're still going on this 45 seconds? Is something wrong with my watch? It felt endless. If you've experienced both of these time warps, then congratulations. Your body already understands this concept. Time isn't what matters most. So if buying more stuff won't make you wealthy, and buying more time by itself won't multiply your wealth, then what will? If you had to buy one thing, just one thing, this right here is the most important thing you'll ever invest in. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being dramatic. This is the one thing that changes everything. What is it? Last weekend, I had this clear vision. I was going to conquer my to-do list. I even had a game plan. Start with the kitchen, move to the closets, and maybe even tackle the garage. But right before I got started, I glanced down at my phone, and just for a second, just one quick peek, just one notification. It was a new post from Mudeng, the absurdly cute, wildly viral Thai pygmy hippo. And I thought, okay, one video won't hurt. But Mudeng had other plans. One video became two, then five, then 10. I was laughing. I was emotionally invested. I was Googling, can pygmy hippos be emotional support animals? Suddenly, I blinked and 2 hours had vanished. My house, still a disaster. My motivation, held hostage by a hippo. Here's the real lesson. The biggest cost wasn't my time. It wasn't the missed task. It was my attention. Because every day we make silent trades, swapping our focus for distractions, spending attention on things that won't move us forward. And let me tell you this, nothing, not money, not time, not even talent, will build your wealth unless you learn to buy back your attention and direct it towards the things that multiply. You want to build real wealth? You've got to stop leasing your attention to every shiny thing that scrolls across your screen and start investing in the vision that's waiting to change your life. To me, attention is where it gets really interesting. Attention is the driver, the director, the invisible hand behind all visible outcomes. It's not what you possess, it's what possesses you. You can have time in abundance and money in surplus, but if your attention is scattered, panicked, addicted, or perpetually doom scrolling, you might as well be rich and comatose, which by the judge of most hedge fund managers' Twitter feeds may already be the case. You see, you don't live life through time, you live life through what you give your attention to during that time. Attention is the force multiplier. It's what makes time meaningful and money useful. It's not just what you glance at, it's what you engage with, what you dwell on, what you feed with thought, energy, ultimately decision-making power. How do you buy back your attention? Here are the 3 steps that will change everything. Number one, delete. Cut what doesn't multiply. Let's start with the first principle, delete. Now I know it sounds a bit harsh, like we're about to go full Marie Kondo on our entire lives, but bear with me. My dad is, without a doubt, the hardest working person I've ever known. No one could outwork him. He's the kind of man who would get up at 2 a.m., work until 8, and still feel like he hadn't done enough. But the heartbreaking part is, despite all his effort, he barely made enough to keep the business alive. Growing up, our financial life felt like a minefield. We'd had good months, and then boom, some unexpected expense would blow up everything. It was a cycle of stress, instability that never seemed to let up, and I watched my dad carry that weight every single day. What made it worse was that he was like an ostrich with his head in the sand. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't afraid to work, but he was so buried in the day-to-day, buried in paperwork, buried in routine, that he never had time, space, or clarity to look up and ask, is this even working? My dad only had a 5th grade education. Technology definitely was not his friend. So he chose to do everything by hand. I kid you not. His bank ledger was literally a spiral notebook, handwritten. Check number 1235, June 1st, $350 to ABC LLC. Over and over again. A task that could have taken 5 minutes with basic software took him nearly 30 minutes because he insisted on doing it all manually. But the real tragedy, it wasn't the time lost. It was the opportunity cost. While he was stuck in the weeds doing tasks that didn't move the needle, he missed out on the things that could have actually transformed his business, building partnerships, exploring strategy, understanding the market. But he couldn't because he wouldn't press delete. He believed deep down that the busy, hard work alone would carry him through. And so he kept his head down, grinding harder, all the while drifting further from the breakthrough that he desperately needed. Eventually, he had to shut down the business, not because he chose to, but because he couldn't keep it going anymore. And that crushed him. It wasn't just a business. business. It was his identity. It was a thing he poured his whole life into. And in the end, the saddest part, it didn't fail because he didn't try. It failed because he never paused long enough to ask, is this the best use of my time? He never gave himself permission to delete. And that lesson has stayed with me ever since. Because no matter how hard you work, if your energy is pointing in the wrong direction, if your calendar is full but your vision is blind, you don't grow, you burn out. Step number two, delegate. Free yourself to focus. You're not a one-person army. Even Jesus had 12 disciples. You weren't designed to carry everything by yourself. You're too valuable to waste your divine assignment on tasks that don't require your anointing. So stop trying to be impressive and start building infrastructure. Hire help, trust the team, empower others. Because every minute you spend doing what someone else can do is a minute stolen from what only you were called to do. You're probably thinking, I don't have the system in place, or honestly, I wouldn't even know how to find the right person if I tried. When I first hired our very first team member to be my assistant, I thought the hard part would be hiring the person. Turns out that was actually the easy part. She seemed perfect, kind, accommodating, flexible. It felt like a dream at first, but then things got weird. We'd ask her for something simple like, hey Darlene, can you jot down what you completed at the end of the day? Nothing complicated, right? No 10-step process there, just a simple quick list so we know what we got done. But instead of doing that, she just ignored it. Like, not once, not twice, but every single day. And eventually, we just gave up asking. We thought, you know what? I'll just do this myself. It's faster that way. Even with that, completely defeat the purpose of hiring help. We kept her on way longer than we should have. Not because things were working, but because we were drowning in tasks and didn't even have the capacity to let her go. Yep, it got that bad. Looking back, the problem wasn't her. It was us. We didn't have the systems. We didn't set up clear expectations, and we handed her everything all at once. Like, hey, here's a kitchen sink. Figure it out. Spoiler alert, she couldn't. And honestly, that wasn't fair to her either. Since then, we've completely revamped how we hire. And now we start with clear roles, specific responsibilities, and let people master one thing before laying on more. It changed everything. If you're in that messy middle, managing too much, hiring out of desperation, and feeling like no one can do it like you can, take a breath. You don't need to do it all. You just need the right systems and the right people in the right seats. Trust me, your future will thank you. So you finally hire someone, yay. But now you're probably thinking, okay, now what? That's exactly the spot we found ourselves in after our first hire. At first, we thought the hard part was over. Like, yeah, we found someone. But it turns out hiring was only the beginning. Without a plan in place, things could go sideways fast. Eventually, after learning the hard way, we came up with a system. Nothing fancy, just practical, easy to stick to steps to help everyone feel more supported and less stressed. And here's what we do now. We started with simple KPIs. Each team member has their own tailored to the specific responsibilities. Not everyone's doing exactly the same thing, so we don't have a one-size-fit-all checklist. We created metrics that make sense for them, so they know what success looks like. We use time tracking, but not to micromanage. It's not about watching their every move. It's about knowing how long things should reasonably take. That way, we're not asking, are you done yet, over and over again on repeat all day long. We use project management tools. Monday.com is our go-to one. This was a total game changer. We list out a daily tasks, link all the necessary files, and keep everything in one place. No more digging through emails or sending a million Slack messages to figure out what's going on. Now, if something doesn't get finished, we can see it, understand why, and easily roll into the next day. No stress, no scrambling. The best part, our team feels empowered. We feel organized, and we're not constantly interrupting each other and say, hey, where's that thing again? Kind of energy. Okay, so you're nodding along. You're in. You're on board with the idea of getting support. But then the little voice pipes in, yeah, but I can't afford to hire someone right now. Oh, friend, I get it. That thought, it's sneaky. It feels responsible, smart even, but let's flip it on its head for a second. Because here's the truth. You think you can't afford help? There's a good chance you can't afford not to. Instead of asking, what will it cost me? Ask, what could this person help create? What revenue generating task could I finally focus on if I had support? What's the cost of me trying to do everything alone and staying stuck in the same cycle? Hiring isn't just an expense. It's an investment in your time, your peace of mind, your growth, your capacity to dream bigger. And let's be real, you think you're saving money on things by doing it all yourself. It's probably costing you more in energy, opportunities, and burnout than you even realize. When we were just getting started in real estate, we met this incredible couple, total rock stars. They were sweet, kind, and smart. They were managing their own apartment complex. And honestly, we were in awe. They invited us over once and still remembered that day. I was so hungry and I snuck across the street to grab a slice of pizza. Priorities, right? Anyway, we looked up to them. They were further along than we were. We had 0 units at the time. We admired how hands-on they were and figured, wow, when we grew up in this business, we want to be just like them. But fast forward to today, and here's what's wild. That same couple, they haven't added a single property. No new deals, no new fresh developments. Not because they don't have the ambition or the smarts, because they clearly do, but because they never hired help. They kept managing that one property themselves day in and day out for 6 whole years. Meanwhile, we made a very different decision. We hired third-party property management teams, not just any team, phenomenal professional crews that knew how to operate with excellence. And guess what happened? While they stay tethered to that one property, we're able to grow to over $400 million in multifamily portfolio, exiting 3 properties and building a business that runs without us having to be on site. In fact, we've only visited some of those properties 2 or 3 times. Not hiring help wouldn't have just cost us time. It would have cost us millions of dollars in growth and opportunity. So when someone say, I can't afford help, what I really hear is I haven't gotten creative enough to figure out how to make it possible. Because the moment you think you can't afford to hire someone is probably the moment you absolutely need to. Step number 3, dominate. Own what you were born for. We've deleted, we've delegated like a boss, and now finally ready to dominate. And to be clear, dominating doesn't mean hustle harder. It means move with clarity, conviction, and precision inside of your zone of genius. Not your zone of competence, not even your zone of excellence. Your zone of genius, the narrow space where you create exponential results with less friction because it's what you were literally designed to do. It's about doing less, but doing it in a way that no one else can. Before we brought on help in our multifamily business, I went through a phase that I like to call wannabe auditor error. Every single month, I dive deep into the weeds of our financials, not just glancing at the KPIs or top line revenue numbers. I mean, like line by line in the P&L's review, pulling invoices, cross-referencing what each apartment should be paying, scrutinizing line items like I was prepping for a forensic accounting case. And let me tell you something, I hated it. Not like, ugh, this is annoying kind of hate. Like, this makes my skin crawl. Why am I doing this? Get me out of here kind of hate. Not only did it suck the joy out of my days, but it also stole my attention. Entire days lost to spreadsheet black holes, emailing the property management company, asking follow-up questions, waiting for replies, playing ping pong with their accounting team. Eventually, I had to stop and ask myself, is this really how I should be spending my attention? And the answer was a hard no, because while I could force myself to do it, it wasn't in my genius zone. I wasn't built to live inside Excel formulas or debate utility allocation. But you know who was? Someone we knew who literally thrived in spreadsheets, like would rather hang out with numbers than go out to a dinner party. That's their happy place, so we hired them. Now they review our financials every month, catching errors, asking questions, and communicating directly with the property management company before any of that hits our desk. It was one of the best decisions we've ever made, because handing that off, it didn't just free up time, it gave me back the mental bandwidth to focus on vision, growing the firm, dreaming up new offerings, and doing the work that lights me up. Because when you delete what drains you and you delegate what distracts you, you finally clear the runway to dominate the thing only you can. This is where your focus becomes force, where your effort meets elegance, where your time stops being consumed and start being compounded. So if you want to build a business, lead your family, steward your gifts, and live in overflow, don't just try to do more. Do what matters. Delete the rest, delegate the rest, and dominate what only you were born to do. If you want to know how I went from broke to $400 million using the exact framework and how you can steal it, I'll see you in the next video.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.